Morning, church. Really excited I am today this morning. I hope you all as well, isn't it? It's coming to the presence of God to listen from what He has kept for us. Every week after week, we are hearing from God, and I see that it's really helping us out throughout our week to do things like what God has been speaking to us on Sunday morning. And now we all know that we are, as a church, we are going through the series of our values that we've been believing in as a church. So we have seen a lot of values so far, and we are going to have a look onto another value as well this morning. So this morning, we are going to look onto this value called integrity. Before we begin, I would like to tell you something. Is there any first bencher, scholar, talker who can shoot out the values that we have seen so far, not necessarily to be in an order, any order? Every week we hear the preacher comes up asking this. It's always there when we have a series to recheck. Generosity, stewardship, open homes, church, discipleship, leadership, equipping, character. Yeah. So prayer. Yes, we have seen a lot of things. You know. So when we see these values, when I was preparing for this sermon, thought came to my mind. It's all the values which we've been seeing every week, but they are not just some individual values or not to be taken as a standalone thing. It has a connect, it has a progressive way. Let me just put this up. So when we talk about church planting, when we see or like the process of church planting, to do that, you already would have been part of the leadership. So when we say that we are there in the team of you would have already gone through the course of discipleship. When we are in discipleship, we know that we are getting acute in our characters that helps us also to step out and do evangelize. That is gospel center and add people and bring people to the church. Now when we are in the church, we all know that we are not the owners, we are the stewards. And with this, when we know that we are in stewards, we come with the heart of generosity in giving, in serving, in helping in all aspects that even makes our home to be open for people to step in and to see our trueness where our integrity comes into it. So amazing, isn't it? It's not just a single individual value that God has given to us. Every values are always interconnected, and it's a course of a progress of our life when we see what are the values that God has given to us. It's taking us in a progressive way, leading us towards growth, God, which is wanting us as a church to grow on it. Let's move on to our value that we are going to look into, the integrity. So this is a definition that we believe in and put in on our website as well. Let me read it for you. We value integrity and genuineness. Transparency enables God to work with individuals and deliver them from all the bondages, strongholds, and setting them free to live a fruitful life. When we see what it means, integrity, through an online dictionary, a common secular word, what it says is that the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. When we say honest, it's also similar to integrity we think, but honest is something, you know, being a truth, saying something which is truth for a certain subjective manner, for a particular time or a situation. When we ask, be honest, tell me what has happened. So we be honest on that point of time, but later on, we may not be honest. But when we say integrity, that means we being consistent in our honesty. So we being consistent in our certain principles that we would be following these things and we will not be doing certain things and we will be doing only certain things that is applicable according to our principle, what we believe in. So that's what it's like, you know, the wholesome picture of what integrity is. So let me give up a story about integrity. So it was a very sunny Saturday afternoon. There was a super duper father called Bobby who was taking both of his sons together, walking to a mini golf, you know, to play miniature golf. So when they walked to the ticket counter, his father asked the person on the counter, young man, asking him, how much do it cost for me to enter? The young man at the counter said, it's $3 for you, idolatry for who any kid who is older than 6. We let them in free if they are 6 or younger. How old are they? Bobby replied, the younger is 3 and the older is 7. So I guess I owe you $6. The younger man at the ticket counter looked at the father and he said, hey, you could have saved yourself $3, man. You could have told me that the elder one is also 6. I would have not known the difference. Bobby replied, yes, that may be true. The kids would have known the difference. When I came across this story, I just thought, you know, like not just only to put up the stories which we read online or come across through articles. There is also certain one of the incidents that came to my mind, I remembered, which happened a year back in our community as a church. Like, last year during Christmas, we've been planning to book a ticket for a movie after our Orion Mall event what we had. So we were planning to watch a movie over there in the city. So when you wanted to book a ticket, just we were counting out the people, a huge number of people, and then we wanted to book a ticket. So we specifically went to the rules group to see what is the age category to buy a ticket, and then we saw it is like 5 and plus, it was that time during COVID. So they said like it's surely mandatory for any kid who is above 5 to buy a ticket. And so Abhishek was just turned 5 years old back a few months back, but we've been very honestly said like we will book a ticket for Abhishek. We had three more kids with us who were less than 5, we've been taking them also. We could have also taken them along with other kids, but we said no. We are not just as a church, we believe in values, but we also apply and walk on it. So that we booked a ticket even for Abhisha, and we took every one of us together with the valid tickets. So indeed, what I mean to say is that, you know, our behaviors teaches our kids more than our words. It's not just speaking or saying. What we act upon, what is the step that we work on, is also matters, which will see the next generation to carry the values. So we are passing on the values to the next generation, not just by words, not just by preaching and teaching, but also by the way of living. So this morning, let's look into this aspect of the life of integrity. We will read from scriptures and we'll see few characters who were able to walk in integrity, who were not failed to walk in integrity. Any guesses? Characters? Let's call this. Gehazi. Yes, it is Gehazi and Elisha. So let's read from the scripture, 2 Kings 5, 20-27. It's there on the slide. Can anyone help me?
Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, my master was too easy on Naaman, this Aramean, by not accepting from him what he bought. As surely as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him. So Gehazi hurried after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running towards him, he got down from the chariot to meet him. Is everything all right? He asked. Everything is all right, Gehazi answered. My master sent me to say, two young men from the company of the prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and 2 sets of clothing. By all means, take 2 talents, said Naaman. He urged Gehazi to accept them and then tied up the 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 sets of clothing. He gave them to 2 of his servants, and they carried them ahead of Gehazi. When Gehazi came to the hill, he took the things from the servants and put them away in the house. He sent the men away and they left. When he went in and stood before his master, Elisha asked him, where have you been, Gehazi? Your servant didn't go anywhere, Gehazi answered. But Elisha said to him, was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to take money or to accept clothes or olive groves and vineyards or flocks and herds or male and female slaves? Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever. Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence and his skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow.
So the story might be very familiar to us. Let me reiterate it. So the man called Naaman, who was having the leprosy, came to Elisha, and Elisha says, to go and dip yourself in the river of Jordan for 7 times and your leprosy will be healed. So he went, he did, and he got healed, came back to Elisha in happiness. And he wanted to give some presentations or gifts to Elisha, but Elisha said, "No, I don't want any of your steak all with you, go back." The servant Gehazi, who was looking out all this scene, he thought like, "Hey, the master has left him without buying anything from me. At least let me try to get something out of this man before he leaves the city." So the moment Naaman left the home, Gehazi was rushing behind and he wanted to get something out from this man. But see the trick that he is using. He's not going and saying that, "I need something, what you are offering to the master." But he says like, "My master has sent me because there are a few men of God has come. So can you give me a talent of silver and 2 sets of clothing?" So then Naaman says like, "No, take 2 bags of silver, 2 talents of silver." He gives them and he also gives the clothing that he has asked and then sends him back with some servants to carry that as well. The moment he reaches the hill, he says like, "Servants, you leave, I'll put it up." So he put it up inside the home and goes back to the master Elisha. Elisha was asking him, "Where have you been?" He's like, "I didn't go anywhere. I was just roaming here." The same way how certain times we respond to our, you know, we can recollect our childhood days. We would have responded and our parents are, "What you did?" "I didn't do anything. It was not me. I don't know what has happened. I don't know how it has fallen." The same way Gehazi responding to the master, saying that, "I didn't go anywhere, I was just here around myself." Then Elisha asks him, "Was my not spirit was not with you at the time he was getting down from the chariot to meet you?" So the end story is that the leprosy which was with Naaman has been passed on to Gehazi and his descendants. So he was carried away with it. Not only Gehazi, but also we see that his descendant is also being carried with the leprosy. So when we fail at certain points of time, so it sees that, you know, been carried on, it's been passed on to our generations as well. So let me take you through another set of a scripture where we can see that they have been faithful. Any guesses of this picture? Little tricky. Not been much spoken of. Yes. It's Mephibosheth and David. Sorry, I mean we're pronouncing it wrong. Mephibosheth. David. Many times we skip the scriptures of the Old Testament in 2 Kings and all because we don't want to read the names. So yes, it is David and Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul. So 2 Samuel chapter 9 verses 1 to 13 speaks about this incident. Let's turn our Bibles and the verses are also there.
And David said, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he answered, "I am your servant." And the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him?" Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet." The king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, a Lo-debar." Then King David sent and bought him and from the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lo-debar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, said, "Son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage." And David, son of Mephibosheth, and he answered, "Behold, I am your servant." And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. And I will restore you to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat of my table always." And he paid homage and said, "What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog as such as I?" Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. And you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him and shall bring in the produce, and that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so will your servant do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servant. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet.
So this is the story of David and grandson of Saul, Mephibosheth. So Jonathan makes, Jonathan and David comes together and they make a covenant that even if I passed away, even if I die, may your offspring and my offspring will be always there, a kindness, and you take care of my offspring as well. So this is a covenant that is made between David and Jonathan. And years after, when Saul is dead and even Jonathan has been killed or dead, here this story is happening. It talks about son of Jonathan, Mephibosheth. So he is there at a place where his legs were crippled, he was lame, he could not walk. And he was staying at one of the servant's place. And then David is looking out. Is there anyone from the generation of Saul or Jonathan whom I can show of my kindness to? So then he heard about this person, Mephibosheth, and he calls on to him. And when he comes, he thinks like, what am I going to do to you, king? Or how is it, what am I worth for? I'm limp. I can't walk. So then David says, you don't have to do anything to me. I've been faithful to you, like I wanted to show the kindness which I covenant made with Jonathan. And then he talks about, you would be always there at my table and you will also eat along with one of my sons. So he kept him along with him, and he also extended and said that to Ziba, his servant, Saul's servant, says that the lands that belong to Saul, I'll give it to you. You till the land, you cultivate and you produce, and so that generations to come will be having from it. But Mephibosheth will be staying with me and he will be having food at my table and he will live along with me. So this is the two incidents or the two characters which is there kept in front of us this morning. So let's see like what God is going to speak to us through this incident. What about integrity we are going to learn from on this story. So there are these two stories have a different set things. Like one has been able to be on to walk on the life of integrity. The integrity character is there in the person. The lifestyle shows that he is able to fulfill it. Whereas the other person is not able to stand on to it and where he has fallen on it. So, what does it mean to us in today's world? Like, integrity means to be transparent even when no one else will know. The second story which we talk about, David and Mephibosheth, as far as we know, that no one else knows about the covenant what David made with Jonathan. It was only the two persons were there when they were making a covenant. But now Jonathan is already dead. So if the person who knows is alive is only David. So he can do anything. He either he can go and continue to show kindness or he can do whatever he wanted. Because he has been already gone through a lot of troubles through the generation of Saul. Like through Saul, a lot of troubles has came to David. But now it is David's own choice, like he can do anything, even to stay on to that or to leave the things. But now we see here that David withstands to that and he was able to do things and walk on that because he wanted to say that I will walk on integrity whether anyone sees or no one sees. Whereas then another incident which we looked on about Gehazi. So we saw that Gehazi thought that no one is going to know about it. No one is going to see it because my master is sitting inside the home. Already this man has left the city. He went to the downhill. So if I go and meet him, there's no one going to tell back to my master. There's no way where Naaman is going to come back and meet my master Elisha. Even if he comes, I'm sure that he's not going to talk about whether you received the two clothing and two bags of silver which I've given through Gehazi. So this was a thought that was there in the mind of Gehazi. So he went forward and he took it. So the intention behind here, we see that he thought that no one else knows, no one else will know what I am doing. In our current situation, if we put ourselves into the point of David or into the play of Gehazi, how are we? What are the things that we do? Whether we are acting because someone else is watching over us, or we are doing things only because certain people know that if I don't do, then they will come to know about it. So what is it? How transparent am I when it comes to the any works or anything that we do? For example, if I take it out in our workplaces for the people who are working, and if there are any students, I will take it as college assignments. when it asked for the status updates. We generally used to have the status update when the task is going on. It's not yet completed. Let's say we have this month end to complete it. So we are in a way progressive, like 50% of the timeline has already got over. So we have left over 50% of time. So when the person is asking us, our boss asking us for the update, what happened to the task? Where are we with? And what happened to your assignment? How far you were able to reach? So our answers would be immediately like, you know, I'm 60% completed. I have completed 70%. I have gone through this. I'm just doing all these things. I will be finishing it up before the deadline. I'm sure that these all things will happen. All these statements we used to put up in places, isn't it? But in reality, if you see, we may not have it started or just started. But the way we convey things is like, we're almost done. Because the intention behind is like, kisko kaisa pata hoga? How do the person knows? Is he going to come and check me? Obviously no, and especially for the people who are working on IT, it's very really tough challenge. Because we are working from home, nobody is going to look out you. What time you are working, what is your hours you are doing, till where you have reached your task. So, how transparent are we in our workplaces? How transparent are we in the place where we are studying, the group of people, with a group of colleagues, within our homes? Are we doing things just because there is someone else to monitor? We always used to have, right in school setups, we used to have some monitor. We used to take care of the class in the absence of teacher. Do we need always a monitor to be there in our life this morning? Or are we able to work even if there is no one else watching? Because there is always one person who is watching. Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12, it says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise up on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, the light became night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness will ask light to you. We are serving a God who is there always, looking out what my son is doing, what my daughter is doing. It's not just because what God is watching over us, not just because people is watching over us. Let us have this habit of transparency. Let it become our lifestyle. Let us try to apply things in our life that I will be able to be transparent. I will be able to walk in integrity even if there is no one else watching over me. It also means be transparent when it is of no benefit. Always we come to think rightly, what am I getting out of it? But the attitude will be always there. What am I going to get out of it? If there is nothing, then we will take it in a lethargic manner. If there is no outcome going to be, if there is no monetary benefit for me, for example. So we take things in a lethargic way. In this two characters which you have read this morning, David, is there anything that is there to benefit him for being kindness towards this Mephibosheth? Obviously, no, because he is being a king of Israel now, for both the things, Judah and as well as Israel. So now he is a king. He has all what he needed. He doesn't need any extended grace from or any extended help or anything that is going to benefit David because of his kindness that he is going to show towards this crippled, lame man who is Mephibosheth. But still, he went forward and he was able to do it. Whereas, we see the second character, Gehazi, there is something he is going to get out of it, right? So that is the reason, the intention of him to going behind Naaman is that he will have something secured for him. He will get something in return. He will get bags of silver. He will get some extra clothing. He thought that what his master may able to give would not be sufficient for him for his future. Insecurity of our future may lead us to sometimes to a crooked way, find a shortcut, how I will be able to get benefited out of. In our workplaces, we may try to please our bosses. We may just try to show off things that I am okay with whatever you are doing, expecting in turn that I will be getting my promotions on time. I will be getting something out of it. What is it going to benefit me? So always our actions are not necessarily to be focused on what am I going to get out of it. Only then I will be truthful. What if the person, you've been so integrity, like you've been so transparent, but still you are not getting a promotion. will you be continue to walk in integrity? Will we be able to walk the same way, do things, be transparent, do works in a same similar way how we were able to do, how we have been doing in the past? Where we will be able to walk in that integrity? That is a question in front of us this morning. So always not just we'll be integrity, walk in integrity, or like we'll not be the person of transparency just because we are getting something out of that person, we are getting something out in return from doing this thing, but we will continue to do even if there is nothing that is going to get benefit. This is what I believe in, this is what the Bible tells me, this is what as a Christian, this is what as a follower of Christ I believe in. I will do it no matter what comes to the result. That should be the attitude of us, every one of us, that we will not be focused on what is going to get benefited me. I will proceed on, move on, and continue to do the things. Many times when we come through the traffic signals, we tend to cross it, but we see the left and right and the ahead. Is there anyone wearing white? No white, then we look up. Is there any cameras? No, then. Right? So, what's wrong in it? Because everyone are doing. Even if you don't want to do, the person behind me is honking continuously. Boss, koi nahi hai, jaana bhai. Forceful. We've been in such a world where everyone tends to say, isme kuch galat nahi hai. It's not wrong to do. Not just because everyone are doing, the things will not be. Not just because everyone does it, it doesn't mean that it is the right or it is the correct thing to do. God has called us with a specific purpose. God has given us. That's the reason we are all being here today. God is telling us, boss, don't follow them. It is really difficult. It's not very easy. But we have to. Because that's where our integrity is concerned. Not the police seeing, not CCTV seeing, not I'm going to get anything in return back from it, but I will walk in integrity because this is what the guideline is. If it's a red, I need to stop. If I have to wear a seatbelt, I will wear a seatbelt. If I have to wear my helmet, I will do wear my helmet no matter what it is. So are we be able to walk in that integrity? All basic small things that are regular, typical life. I'm not talking about anything very big, big things. It's all very classical, our daily routines. Even if we are able to walk in that, it will help us to move forward in our life, what God has called us to do. When I was talking all these things, we may feel certain things, incidents come to our minds, where we have crossed the signal, where we have not been transparent to our managers, bosses, our colleges, schools, anything. It's okay. Before moving that, I just try to read Proverbs 10:9. It says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. Maybe today we may not be found by the police, we may not be caught today, but over a period of time it becomes a habit, and one day fine, surely we will get caught. But the one who is walking in integrity is walking wisely. His ways are secured. No need, whatever comes ahead, we would be able to move further. So it says, be transparent. Gehazi was given a chance. He went behind Naaman. He asked God. He came back, put it in the home, and went back to the front of his master. Elijah was asking him, right? Where were you been, Gehazi? He says, I didn't go anywhere. I was just around here. I was just doing some things. I didn't go anywhere. Today, in our life, in our current situation, we may. It's okay when we are wrong. We have to have that habit of admitting. Are we ready to admit it? We've been talking about David and Mephibosheth. In another incident we know, when David commits sin, and the prophet Nathan comes in front of him and says, you did this. What was the response of David, being a king? Right? How can you say this in front of everyone? I didn't do it. Nathan says very clearly that you did it in private. God brought it into light. So the response of David, there, Psalm 51, the whole Psalm. You see verse 3 to 4. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, only have I seen and done what is evil in your sight? It's okay, many times we might have fallen in our places. Certain things have happened where we wanted to be transparent, where we wanted to be reliable, be responsible, be faithful, be truthful, but you may have slipped to do something. But when it has been highlighted or when a chance comes, are we ready to admit it? Even that shows our integrity. That makes us a person of reliable, especially in our workplaces, in our homes even. When we do certain things, it's okay. Unintentionally, it has slipped off your hand. Not to say, I don't know, I just turned and came and it was fallen already, so I'm just picking it up. It's okay, tell them that it slipped off my hand. When we are wrong, are we ready to admit it? I'd like to tell one more story here. There were four high school boys who were late to their morning classes. They entered the classroom. And solemnly, everyone told together the teacher that they were late because the tire was flat. The tire became flat, the car got punctured, and because of that, they were late. The sympathetic teacher smiled at them and then said, "It is too bad that you are late. Because of you are late, you already missed out an exam, a test we had this morning." But she was willing to give them a chance so that they can also take part in the test and get passed. So she gave them each a piece of a paper and asked them to go to all four corners of the classroom. Asked, "If you can write an answer for this one question, you all will get passed. I know the question you all." What was the question? Exactly. Which tire was flat? This is the same question put in front of us this morning. What is the response we would be able to write on the paper? What is our thought this morning from these two characters which we read? Be on the line with David. God even witnesses saying that he is a man of integrity. Will be able to say that God will be able to testify on us that he is a man of integrity, she is a man of integrity, she is a woman of integrity. Will God be able to tell us in the day of judgment, when we go into the front of God, what is our response? What would be our status? In which line we would be falling in? Let's rethink of ourselves. There are certain guidelines, I just put it up here, like, you know, persevere in integrity. Let me read it out. Keep your promises even if it takes extra effort. Go back to a store, pay for something you forgot to pay for. Inform the cashier he gave you too much change back. Do not gossip or talk badly about someone. Remain true to your spouse or partner. When in a serious relationship, don't keep secrets from each other. Return money that you notice someone dropped without expecting a reward. Ignore someone's advice on how to cheat on your taxes and not get caught. Very familiar things, right? Always, how can I do? Kuch rent receipt dal denge because company is providing me HRA. It's okay, everyone does. In my team, everyone does. So let me also follow the same footpath. Where are we? Someone gives you confidential information, never tell about what you know. Do not let someone else take the blame for what you did. Never steal supplies from the workplace. There are many instances happens, right? You go to office, there are some stationery kept for the purpose of official works. We took a pen, put it in a bag and come back. There are juices, there are snacks kept in office just to get ourselves refreshed during the work hours. Put it back in the bag, come back. There are schools which provide nourishments. Just put it in our bags, come back home. How we use the resources that has been meant for our official purpose. In homes, foster a supportive atmosphere where family members are comfortable and apologetic. Are we giving a space for our family member to come up front and say to apologize in front of us? Are we ready to accept the apologies? Encourage children to talk about the natural consequences of their action and what they can do differently next time. And anything they do wrong. Are we able to tell them what is the true consequences? If you go forward, or if you do further things on this case, what is going to happen? Are we able to tell them the truth and teach them not to do on this on the next time? Avoid judgmental talk and behavior. behavior. In our home specifically, always being judgmental. Ah, you always do this. I know. Are we always having the judgmental attitude? I know it would have fallen because of you. Even though that person has not did it, but because of her judgmental attitude, we put up in that way, saying that, I know it is because of you. How judgmental are, what is our attitude towards you? How good would that have been? Just imagine if everyone else, every one of us, or everyone in the world follows all these things. We'd be so happy, happy, happy. Right? That's not the reality. That is the reason it is being spoken about. That is the reason we are here to talk about it. God is asking us this morning, are we able to walk in integrity? Can we have this integrity as a lifestyle? This, all these things that is listed out here, is not kind of a big theological things. It's all our regular daily lives. How are we able to make that integrity as a lifestyle? How are we able to walk in that path? It's not I'm here standing saying that because I'm being successful and I'm being 100% integrity, because we all are work in progress. People may not watch us, may not be benefit me, but God is asking us this question this morning. Will you be my child who walks in integrity? Can we ask this question to ourselves? Am I being a person who can be reliable, trustworthy at my workplace, in my home, in my church, in the ministries that I'm handling? Am I really reliable? Am I trustworthy? Do I maintain the transparency that enables God, people placed by God, to work in my life, to make it fruitful? Are we being transparent with our leaders, mentors? As we talk about discipleship, we know that we are being discipled. Are we being having the habit of transparency? Are we able to admit it, even if we mistake it? How far is that clear, open thing in front of the people placed by God? That's where we would be able to exercise it. That is when we would be able to walk in that path, make our life as a fruitful, do the purpose for what God has called us to be. I would like to remind you, all of us this morning, that it is Christ who has exemplified wholeness of integrity throughout his life. After 40 days of fasting, Jesus was weak from hunger. Satan tempted him to abuse his power and turn stones to bread instantly so that he can come out of his hunger. Jesus withstood that temptation. Again, he tempted Jesus with instant fame and acceptance. Again, Jesus refused. Finally, Satan promised Jesus kingdoms of power if Jesus would only bow down to him. Jesus rejected Satan and commanded him to depart. Even in his most vulnerable time, Jesus kept his integrity before his Father. He has shown the way to us. From the Savior's example, we learn that the strength of our integrity is often tested when we are at our weakest. In our weakest area is a place where we be tested, tempted, and we may tend to fall. But following the example of God, Christ, we can gain the courage to be strong even in difficult times. Changing colors may benefit the cuttlefish. Changing behaviors, please others, for wealth, for fame, for promotions, for appraisals, for applauses, or for any other reason, does not really benefit us. It may look like a benefit to us for that moment, but end result is not a benefit. Are we doing things to please people, or are we being really being transparent? Remember, we all are work in progress. Following Christ's example of integrity will lead us back to if we listen to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit, we can develop a true integrity. It's only by listening to the Holy Spirit's voice, we would be able to walk in true integrity. Our beliefs, thoughts, and actions, everything will be in harmony with our Savior. Will it be there? Will God be able to say to us that, well done, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. God be able to say this statement looking at us? Then we just bow down our heads and reflect on this, where we are. Then we ask God, God help me, if we are really struggling in areas. Only we know it, because no one else knows it. It's not been visible to anyone else this morning, but we know. As we've been speaking, as we've been talking on this aspect, I believe Holy Spirit have put the thoughts in every one of our minds that the place where we wanted to reflect, where we wanted to leave it out and come and walk in the path of integrity. Can we take a moment and reflect? I request our pastor to come forward.
God is very, very much keen this morning because it is driven by the Holy Spirit. The first word this morning when we began our worship, Sam said, God is truthful. And the verse came up was, I'm the way, the truth, and life. And He walks us. He wants us